At this time of year, we chat with some of the UK's and indeed the world's leading sight loss charities. We take a look back at 2025 and ahead to 2026. Today, I'm joined by Elena McGregor from British Blind Sport. Elena, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Alan. Nice to catch up with you again.
Let's look back at the year then. It's time to look at some of the highlights, indeed some of the challenges as well. Elena, I'm sure there have been plenty to talk about through the year. And indeed, this was an anniversary year for you guys as well.
Yeah, it's been a big year for British Blind Sport. I can't believe it, but we're 50 years old this year. It was actually officially November. But we had numerous activities to celebrate that memorable occasion, the run-up to the anniversary, and some of them are still continuing now. So it's definitely been a very busy year, a very hectic year. I think I'll put it like that.
If you were to pick, say, two or three highlights of the year, it's always a difficult thing to do. What would you say they were?
I think from the business highlights, we've had a few. So we've been working with Warwick Museum for a 6-month exhibition on the history of British Blind Sport. And actually, the exhibition is now on until March next year, which is fantastic because it means that the footfall of people finding out the history of BBS can go on for quite a period of time. So, you know, we're going to have people that have never heard of us or perhaps don't know much about the charity will have that opportunity. So I think from a business point of view, that's really exciting. I think for me, just seeing the team bring all that information together and pulling together the history of BBS and thinking about some of our milestones has been really good to reflect on and also to be able to celebrate. So that's been one. We held a festival of sport in early November, which was brilliant. It was organised by a member of our team. Whilst many people were involved, you know, Shamira really kind of led the charge on that, and she'd only joined us early summer, and I did feel like it was a lot on her shoulders, but everyone was so busy, and it was the role or part of the role that she was brought into, and I thought she did an amazing job. So, you know, as a CEO, it's always heartwarming to see staff really excel. But also for me, that event itself, meeting with some of our service users, is what I enjoy most anyway about my job, if I'm truly honest. And I met some young people from New College Worcester who were particularly enlightening and funny and very driven and exciting, talking to them about their futures and what they wanted to do. One wanted to be a linguist, one wanted to be a DJ, both of whom sport was really important to them. And, you know, just seeing people with sight loss have very active lives and very exciting dreams for the future was a personal highlight for me.
Huge celebration, as you say, Elena, this year, on top of all the day-to-day work that British Blind Sport does as well. You know, the events, the sessions that you put on as well, you know, working to make sport more accessible. I suppose that never eases as the years go on.
No, that never eases, and it's always a challenge. And, you know, we're very grateful that we've got great staff, but we've also got really good members. More and more, we try to engage more with the people from the sight loss community. It's always mattered to me that rather than us put something on or try something out, is, you know, ask somebody who has sight loss, who has lived experience, what they think, what they want to do, what would be good for them, what's meaningful. And, you know, we are very blessed that we have good relationships with a lot of people. We also have numerous staff who have sight loss who can bring a different perspective on what the charity could and couldn't be doing. And that's really helpful. We've taken on a couple of new people this year, both of whom you probably know, Laura Fahy, multi-Paralympic medalist, and also Roy Tenham, who is also a very decorated Paralympic footballer. And both of them have really brought something new to the team. So for me, whilst challenges are there, and while challenges will always be ahead, to putting into the building blocks to make sure that we're meeting those challenges in the best way possible has been really good this year. It's been a particularly good year for that.
I know when we talk with the third sector, you know, every year we do these, fundraising, finances always come up as a bit of a challenge. You've had changes in the cost of living, we've had inflation increases as well, perhaps people not giving to charities as much as they used to. Has that been something you've noticed at British Blind Sport? Have you had to look at other ways of bringing in income to carry on the services you do and plan for the future?
Yeah, I think it's a really good point, Alan. That hits in two different ways. One, it's about people giving to the charity, but you also know that you have people that work for you who may be struggling, or that, they might think, well, actually, I need to go and get another job. Charity sector is well known for not being the greatest payer. It's about a different kind of reward. But if you've got a mortgage to pay, and you need to keep a roof over your head and put food in your belly, you run the risk of potentially losing very, very good people. The other thing that you have to bear in mind is not people just giving money to the charity, but you have to make everything as affordable or free, because people with sight loss are less likely to be in work. There is much higher chance of people coming from, they call it, disadvantaged backgrounds. I would say, there's different advantages for different kinds of backgrounds, but backgrounds where money might be a little bit tighter. So what we don't want to do is make sport and physical activity inaccessible because of the cost of it. It's already hard enough. There's other challenges there about travel, perception, coaches, education, etc., all of which we're looking to meet all of the time, but it's still very, very hard.
That work also carries on, Elena, not just providing sporting opportunities to get people to try sports and activities and pastimes, but also changing, I suppose, access to these kind of things as well. So someone, say, who is blind can go to any sports centre or club and know that when they go, what's there will be, as accessible to them as it possibly can be. That's another important strand to the work that you guys do.
Yeah, that is the ultimate goal, really. I mean, I always say that if society was more accessible, there should be no need for a British blind sport. And I want to do myself out of a job, but if I'm honest and realistic, I still think that's a long way off. We started a new program this year, and we're very lucky to have had 12 months funding for it, and we're hoping to get future funding from other areas to continue the work. But bringing in two workforce officers to go out and work with leisure centres, gyms, maybe football clubs, university staff, because lots of people, young people with VI might be at university, and actually just saying, look, this is how you make sport accessible. But it's not also about making it accessible, it's about how you make it welcoming. Because this is a story that I tell a few times, but I did a project where we help people do archery and shooting. And I was, I'm going to be a bit honest, I was a little bit, look at us, aren't we clever? We got these coaches showing them how to help people access their sport. Isn't it amazing? Lots more people can do it. And I just happened to pick up a phone call one day at the office, and this gentleman had said, I want to take up archery. I won't say where in the country it was. And, I thought, oh, here I go. I'm going to tell him that there's this great club down the road now, and we've got these two new coaches all geared up to teach him. So, gave him the details. Happened to just write down his number. And as CEO, I think it's really important that you don't just leave it for other people to follow up on stuff. You really need to get into the nitty-gritty. So, about 6 weeks after that, I gave him a call and said, hi, how's it going? And he said to me, well, I went. And I said, yeah, okay. And he said, well, I got to the desk, and the woman said, we don't deal with your problem. To this day, I thought, okay, there's two lessons here. One, Elena, don't be so smug that you think you're getting it right. And two, the lesson isn't just about getting people who are coaches to understand how to make sport accessible. It's about making a whole holistic approach to the workforce from the moment that person walks through the door, be it the receptionist, a manager, a coach, a gym staff, the cleaner, going, hi, what can I do to help? And that's how we train now. But yeah, that was quite a sobering moment for me, and a lesson well learned.
It is absolutely about, it's about the journey, isn't it? You can see why that would put people off, not even getting to the coaches that have had that training
That's
and that
right.
want to get more people involved. You've just celebrated, or British Blind Sport has just celebrated its 50th anniversary. What does year 51 have? How are you looking ahead to 2026?
I don't know. I think I'm going to breathe out. We've changed some of our tactics a little bit this year strategically. We're trying to look at what we call as a place-based theory, which is you may have heard of that. I don't know if that's happening with across other sectors, but we are a small team, and there's 2 million people living with sight loss in the UK, and that number's only going to get bigger, unfortunately. So we sometimes we do feel that we've spread ourselves thin. So this time last year, I sat down with the team and said, we need to be a bit brave here. We need to really like not just keep pushing ourselves out everywhere and just dropping in a few bits and pieces, but actually let's focus on different areas. So we then did some research about where are people with, living with sight loss, and where are people living with sight loss that doesn't have many sporting activities available to them at the moment. And we've identified three or four places. And the first place we started is in Birmingham, and then that'll roll on to the next place after that. So what we've done is then we've really worked with sight loss organisations, and I say we've done, we're doing, and sporting organisations, and saying in that area, like in a concentrated mix, what are you doing? What can we do to help you? What can we formulate together? What programmes can we offer? And then that way, we want to be able to really make a difference and an impact in an area. And once we see that impact being sustainable, we'll take ourselves away slowly. We'll always be there to, you know, to be an advisor, and then we'll move on to the next area. So next year is really accelerating that. We've tentatively done the research at the beginning of this year. We've started that work, but we did have all the 50th anniversary celebrations as well, and now we're going to go and do that in earnest.
Well, we certainly hope to follow the progress in year 51 for British Blind
Thank you.
Sport, Elena. But for now, everyone here at RNIB and RNIB Connect Radio would like to wish all you guys at British Blind Sport a very Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and we'll speak to you again in 2026.
Alan, I just want to thank you and your listeners for your amazing support and for how much you do to help our charitable organisation raise the profile of sport and physical activity for people with sight loss. Thank you, and happy Christmas and happy New Year to you too.